Thank you for having me.
You're always grand. Good morning, welcome to the call. Please say your name or location.
Andrea Randolph, Maryland.
I hear Maryland. It was a few people at the same time. Good morning, Maryland. And who is there?
Good morning. This is Gina from Oahu, Hawaii.
Hello, oh, wow. Gina. How are you?
Hi, Gina. Fine. Hi. How is everyone?
Just waiting for you to call in.
Yes.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you so much.
Who else is here? Please speak up and say your name and location.
Good morning, Rick from Iowa City.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
This is Carolyn from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hello, Carolyn. Thanks for being here. And more have joined. Welcome, everybody. Please say your name and location.
Good morning. This is Anna in Modesto, California.
Modesto. Good morning.
Yes. Hello, everyone.
How far did you live from Scott Peterson and Lacey Peterson?
From where?
Oh, sorry about Scott Peterson and Lacey Peterson.
Oh, that town. Yeah, we're infamous.
Oh. Who else joined in? Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Don't worry, please.
Michael?
Yes, how are you?
Right. How you doing, Michael?
Great.
And if there are more people who have not announced themselves...
Is that Michael Adler?
It is, and who said that?
It's Marilyn, that used to live in San Diego.
And you are where now?
I'm in Pittsburgh, and you helped me a great deal.
Well, I'm glad I was able to be of assistance.
You were extraordinary. You really made everything happen for me, and I really appreciate it so much.
Michael?
You? Yes.
Michael, she must think you're me.
I think it's the same family. Family resemblance, yes.
I love you all. Welcome to the call. Say your name and location.
Good morning. It's Tammy from Playa del Rey.
I hear Anna from Playa del Rey. Welcome. Who else is here? Please say your name and location.
Mel Norma from England.
From Los Angeles.
Was Mela here?
Hi, Norma. Hi, everybody.
Norma, welcome to the call.
Good morning.
How are you, Mel?
Marvelous.
Right on. I welcome those who just joined us. Please say your name and location. If you hear Jean, say hi.
Yep, from Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Jean.
Hi. Who was it from Los Angeles?
Deb.
I can hear your name from Los Angeles, please.
That was Deb.
Oh. Debbie or Deb?
All right. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Please say your name and location.
Lori from Santa Fe. Good morning,
Mike. Hi, Lori. To the call.
Thank you.
VC from Burbank, California. Hello, everybody.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
I need to mute the noise-making line. Don't feel excluded when I mute you. The noise down. Good morning, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
John?
Is it John McKay?
Yes, sir.
All right, John. Thanks for being here, man.
Namaste.
All right. Is it Carla? If you're here and you have not announced yourself, please do so. Thank you all for being part of this beautiful family over here. We have BBS joined us, all those who are listening through BBS Radio. So much for being here. And when it's 6 minutes past the hour, are you ready? Teddy, are you here?
I'm ready.
And here is Terry.
Yeah.
Terry.
Good morning.
Hey, Terry. Good morning, babe. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right. You want to hang up and dial in again with the host code?
Well, she didn't do the moderator code.
Correct. Beep, 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 beep. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Adam in Tennessee.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I hear definitely her music is present. Didn't sleep at all. Terry.
Good morning.
Terry.
I didn't sleep because I'm wearing the wellness pendant, and it really got me.
Was that right?
Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and look.
Good afternoon. Hi, this is Teddy.
Good afternoon, Teddy. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Somebody else joined in? Welcome to the call. Station.
Great. Okay,
I'm going to mute the lines, Ren. The lines are clear. And I know you're not ready, but can we start?
Well, I think so. Wait a second. Before we start, am I fairly clear? There's an echo. Is there an echo?
You want to open the line, then?
Wait a second. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
How's our audio?
It is. Yes, you sound a little far. Can you get closer to the microphone?
One second. Is this better?
It is a little bit better, yes. I think it's good.
Okay. I'm on my cell phone. As opposed to Skype, because I think the Skype connection or the internet connection at the hotel is a little bit slow. So,
all right.
I mean, I'm still connected on Skype, but I'm not using it. So my volume is probably a little bit lower, correct?
It is, and you don't have a headset now, or do you?
I'm using a headset.
You are? Okay.
Is it acceptable?
It is acceptable, yes.
Is it barely acceptable?
It's just on the good side of acceptable.
Just on the good side?
Yes.
Okay. right. Yeah.
This conference is being recorded.
We just started our recording, and my name is Lynn Frey. This is Sunday morning, February 10th, and I'd like to congratulate us all for making it into February. And as some of you know, we're in Los Angeles right now, Terry and I. We're normally in Sedona, and there's an expo in Los Angeles called the Conscious Life Expo. And probably 10,000 to 20,000 people come to it. And it's got all kinds of booths, speakers, and George Story is always here. David Wilcock is here. And Damian Brinkley is here. And it's Greg Braden here, Jerry.
Yeah.
Greg Braden is here. You know, it's every luminary, New Age, is here. And for the past few years, we have taken a booth out here. And I decided not to take a booth, but not to be a speaker. Probably because 6 months ago, some of you remember this, I was supposed to be a speaker on Saturday afternoon. At the last minute, it was changed to Sunday morning. And when we did our gradioing on Sunday morning, it was the same time. So I just did my lecture at the Conscious Life Expo over the gradioing. So I was kind of annoyed. So I decided that we would just come and be attendees and let synchronicities happen and feel the experience of that. Because we always come, when we do a booth, we're just so tired. And, you know, it's like 3 days constantly sitting in a booth, talking to everybody. And, Terry, are you enjoying not being in a booth? I don't hear you. I think you're muted. Still muted. I checked you.
You're unmuted now.
I said you're unmuted. Try it.
Yes, I'm enjoying very much because I can go in here. The different panels and the different speakers that I would like to hear, which I was never able to do before because I was always at the booth. So I'm enjoying it very much.
Teddy, you're too close to your microphone. Go a little bit away.
Okay. All right, maybe that's better.
Perfect.
I think I muted you before.
Okay.
Hi, is there an echo right now?
There's no echo, but I'd like you to try back to go back to Skype because I think Skype is better.
All right, we're on Skype now.
Yes, it's better.
Well, let me know if it starts cutting out, because you know what happens work, but as the internet usage at the hotel increases, suddenly there'll be all these little electronic sounds on my voice. Okay.
All right.
Okay, so just let me know. The cell phone is still operating, so I can do either. Is Terry's sound okay?
Terry sounds great. Ben's down.
All right. So, pardon me? Okay.
Things are good. Continue.
Yeah. So, one of the things is I met people like being a normal person. Like I wasn't lecturing, and I wasn't at a booth. And that kind of makes you abnormal, or makes me feel abnormal, because I have a responsibility to fulfill. So, kept running into people that stopped me
And it was really amazing to hear some of their feedback. One person lives in West Hollywood, works in a doctor's office in Beverly Hills, listens to us. Hi, Aaron, if you're listening. Listens to us all the time and talks about us to the doctors in his office and never identified himself on the call, okay? And then I think somebody else told me they met Tammy at David Wilcox's lecture, and I can't remember who that was. And then my favorite one was somebody that said, was telling me, when you have to be stop making slurping noises on the calls. Guys, do I make slurping noises?
You sound good to me, Wynn.
Love is blind, Hyde. Or love is deaf.
Probably some truth behind that, yes.
Well, I mean, it's not that I'm sitting here trying to make slurping noises. It's like so often my people complain the volume is not loud enough that I put the microphone right almost in my mouth, like that. That's the microphone in my mouth. And so every little sound comes across. So now my microphone's far away. I'm keeping it far away because now I'm self-conscious about slurping noises. So in any case, one thing I've learned is not to fall apart when people criticize me or be critical, and that there's no way you're going to please all of the people all of the time. You know, being at this expo, this used to be called the Whole Life Expo. It's been going for years. And they have one in San Francisco, and they have one in Los Angeles. And when I was living in Berkeley, going to the Whole Life Expo was a major event for me. And of course, I was unknown at the time. I mean, I just go anonymously. And I had such an affinity with being there. And of course, I realize now, looking back at it, that this was an expo for wanderers, okay? This, I mean, at the time, it looked like an expo for hippies. And the people that would support it would be part of, you know, the people that were in the drug culture at the time, and et cetera, et cetera. But people that didn't fit in, people that were artists, people, you know, there were musicians, there was health food, there was people giving out samples of health food. Even at this expo, there were, like, some really beautiful people that cooked up onion chips and had them for everybody. It was giving people an opportunity to display a little bit of entrepreneurship. And I used to just space out. I would just go out of my body when I would go to this expo and just hang out with all those people. And, of course, no one paid any attention to me at all, but it was a great experience. And then, Terry, you used to go to that expo, didn't you, in those days?
Yeah, I used to go. I used to go to all those expos, Mind, Body, Spirit Expo, Whole Life Expo. Really enjoyed it because it opened doors to a whole new set of things that were out there and I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. What was the best thing you discovered at an expo?
There were, I think I liked the speakers best of all. Like the yesterday the George Norrie panel with Greg Braden and Sean Morton and Eric Pearl with who started Reconnection and William Henry. I think like that was one of the best things I ever went to.
Was David Wilcock part of that panel?
Yeah, he was. He was part of that panel too.
Okay. Well, obviously, every time people come together, there's group energy. And, of course, expos have this tradition, this particular expo, of people having a loving consciousness. And even though I would say, when I look at it now, certain things look more corrupted, like all the New Age people trying to make money and changing people's lives. And yet, I find there's more energy on our line than there is at the expo. But that is a... hard to explain. Terry?
Yeah.
You know, as you move around, I hear everything you're doing. Okay? Maybe you could mute your phone. Okay. All right. Much more quieter. Thank you. So, this morning, usually I talk for a while in the morning. And as you can see, I'm still in the expo zone. Let's see. But I'm not completely tired. That's what usually happens when we do an expo. Wait a second. There we go. So, as you all know, our Sunday calls are an exercise in group energy, and that we show up and we started out just to have this intent of having group energy. The Conscious Life Expo has group energy. That is why it has a high vibration. And group energy starts with intention. Now, I'll share a little trick that I learned quite some time ago. That when I used to play music, I used to create group energy with the audience. Of course, I was nowhere near as sophisticated then as I am now. I didn't have the words to describe it, but I did observe it. And there were some interesting things that I observed at that time in terms of creating group energy. And I'm sharing this because those of you who are participating and feeling the energy, this might give some tips on how you can create group energy in your own life if you haven't done so already. Of course, anytime there's another person, one other person, there's the opportunity to create group energy. And perhaps it's a misnomer to say create group energy, because it makes it sound like you're doing it. And from my experience, I'm not doing it. It's more like I'm getting out of the way. That energy is always there. But if I'm in the way, I come in between it. So I wanted to share some of the ways that I learned to get out of the way to let group energy happen. So when I was playing music, when I first started going up in front of groups to play music, and just to give you an idea, I just go back a little bit on my songs. When I was younger, when I was, you know, in my 20s, I really felt out of it. I felt like no one understood me, and I was withdrawn, and I was shy. And I remember starting to write lyrics to other people's melodies, and I didn't think of it as anything big deal. It was just an exercise. In fact, I never thought I was good in English. I never had high marks in English in college, and I was always better at math. So the fact that I ended up a writer is kind of amazing. But I would write lyrics to other people's songs, and then I would sing what I wrote to someone who was in my space. And suddenly, I would connect with them. It was like I was writing songs about like these inner workings inside me. And I play the song, and somebody else would respond to it. And I find that they were having the same thing go on in them. And they really liked it, encouraged me. So I kept writing more songs. And I couldn't sing at all. It took me probably a few years to get to the place where I could begin to sing a song. I never considered singing anything publicly, but what happened was there was this lady I kept meeting in the college campus, and we were having synchronicity after synchronicity. Her name was Jillian, and one day I went and I sung her some of my songs, and she thought they were awesome, and we ended up starting a rock and roll band, and she would sing my songs. Well, I went through all these changes, and eventually the rock and roll band broke up. Jillian and I spent a few years traveling around the country, and we separated, and I started wanting to go and play places myself. And this was a whole new experience. It was just me and the audience. And in general, my songs were really sensitive, really kind of James Taylor-ish. I probably identified with James Taylor. And I would go up in front of an audience, and nobody would pay attention. It was like I was invisible. And then I had this experience of, in fact, the story, here's the story. There was a disco in Greenwood Lake, New York, and I was hitchhiking around the country, and I ended up, there was this fellow named Bob Reap in Ringwood, New York, and he lived with his, at his mother's house, and his mother was an absolute angel, and I would go and stay at their home. And I probably could have stayed there for the rest of my life because his mother loved me. And she thought that I was a good influence on Bob, who lived in the basement of her house, was doing drugs or smoking marijuana, and bringing home all the neighborhood girls and bedding them. And she thought I was a good influence on him. And so he took me up to this discotheque about 15 miles from his house and introduced me to the owner. And I played a couple of songs, and the owner looked at me and said, "You're way too quiet. No one's going to listen to you." But then he said, "How much do you charge?" And I said, $25. So he said, "Well, I'll put you on in between the bands tonight." And he did. I went there, and I started playing. And sure enough, nobody was listening to me. I mean, I could have been invisible. And so at that point, I said, "I want to reach this crowd." And I looked at everybody, and basically you have a bunch of drunk people coming there, and all the young people from New Jersey coming to New York, because the drinking age was 18 in New York and 21 in New Jersey. And I looked at the crowd, and I said, "Now I'm going to do a primal scream." You probably don't know what a primal scream is, but there was a guy named Janov who had a whole technique about releasing your pain through screaming. So I screamed and looked at the audience, and suddenly everyone stopped in their track, and they were looking at me. And I said, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. What am I going to do?" So I looked at them, and I said, "Okay, so now it's your turn. 1, 2, 3. And they all screamed back at me. So we spent the next 10 minutes screaming at each other. And I walked off the stage. The guy who owned this discotheque came up to me and said, "All right, you're hired for the summer." So I would be going up in between the bands and screaming, and everyone would scream back at me. And did I ever tell you that story, Terry? And eventually, I had the bands come up. Remember, this was like the beginning of the Grateful Dead and all this jamming. And I was kind of a pioneer. So I would go up on stage, and I would bring the other bands up, which were all doing, you know, fairly rigid top 40 kind of material, and we'd do jams. And I became like one of the high points of the evening. And then I would go up to Woodstock, New York, which was about, 60 minutes away, an hour away. And I would meet musicians there and bring them back to Greenwood Lake, and they'd become part of my jam. And I mean, I was in heaven. And you might wonder where I was living. The house band was called Everyone, and they had a house across from the discotheque, and I set my tent up in the back of their house. And after that, I didn't play my sensitive songs that whole summer. I just screamed and had jams. And so when that gig was over, I had another kind of bag of tricks in my performing thing, because not only did I have my sensitive songs, but I had this new way of relating to audiences. And I started writing, when I was in Greenwood Lake, I started writing some songs that I could get people in a bar to pay attention to me on. So one of the songs was, I still have these songs, and I should put them out. They're really fun. One of them was called "Do It Till You're Sick of It." So there I would be looking at all these people drinking and singing this song, "Do It Till You're Sick of It." No one really understood the lyrics, I don't believe. I don't think anyone understood the lyrics. But when I got to the point where it was "Do It Till You're Sick of It," everyone would join in and they'd sing together, "Do it! Do it!" And then, let me see, what was another song of that period? give me that one last fling. And, of course, the audience is really related to it. And so now I'm talking about group energy. Obviously, to create a group energy in a bar like that, I had to go in at the level that people would understand. Otherwise, I was invisible. So then I would go back to playing coffee shops and places like that where there were really more receptive audiences. And I found that when I could win the people really quickly, any audience, I could win any audience anytime, doesn't matter who, we'll do it till you're sick of it. And people would just crack up. They'd laugh. Sophisticated people would understand the lyrics. Let me see. Here, I'll give you the first verse. Everybody's got their little weakness, and temptation will point to the fun. But you'll never find out where temptation will lead you if you're stuck in your imagination. So go out and get the experience, or if you want, just stay home in your bed. You gotta live out your fantasies, fulfill your desires. Let them get out of your head. So, baby, do it till you're sick of it. Do it till you can't stand no more. Do it till you're sick of it. Do it till it becomes boring. So, of course, that is the nature of getting experience in life. And understanding what life is about. It's kind of like the William Blake quote, the path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. And so oftentimes I would start doing a song like that with a good audience, and I couldn't get to my other material. I had to be like a buffoon the whole time, and I had to keep that kind of energy going. When I did my other songs, I could get to the place where I didn't feel I had to entertain people at all, that the energy would just flow. And in fact, even when I would stop, the energy would be present. And I remember the first time that that energy came in where there was a lot of space. I used the word space then. It's where I didn't have to do anything, where the energy would sustain, and I could play music. And well, the first time I had that happen, it scared me. I couldn't hold it. I suddenly got, oh my God, everyone is paying total attention to me. Everything I say, every gesture, they're paying attention. And I became immediately self-conscious, and I blew it, and I'd lose it. And then I'd have to get to talking about, like, you know, like entertaining again. But I kept learning how to move the energy into that place where it would happen by itself, which was, of course, in my new terminology, creating a group energy. And I find that principle all the time because, say, for example, you're in a social situation with people and there's kind of everyone wants to fill the space. You know, the space can feel very awkward and uncomfortable, and people want to jump in into that space and put something in it. I am sure you all have been with somebody where you felt obligated to talk. How are you doing? What are you doing? And people want to report from you. And I realized when you started that pattern with another person, that obligation to talk, to fill the space, then usually you got stuck there. You couldn't move it into group energy. It would just be an entertaining conversation. Some of you come up to me and say, well, how are you doing? What's going on? And I just say, I don't answer that question. And, you know, what I find is, for me, it makes a moment of uncomfortability. But it doesn't last long because there's a creative way of interchanging that comes in immediately after. And every time you create group energy, the first time you become the volitional person who is causing group energy to occur, you're going to be self-conscious. I guarantee it. You're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to feel vulnerable. And as you get used to it, then, well, what I learned on these calls, I learned it, is that a group energy, when you put intentions on group energy, you create a huge, powerful motion in the universe and in your life. Group energy is perhaps the most powerful thing in the universe. Because group energy can move mountains. Group energy can change the flow. You know, I think this was in the Rucker material. I don't remember. But they were talking about the negative. And the negative works with group energy just as well as the positive does. The negative uses group energy to create control systems on other people. For example, a satanic circle would be group energy. In some cases, a witch's coven. Witches don't necessarily have to be negative. The key is whether you're putting for the highest good of all concerned in the mix, or you're just saying, here's a group energy and we want power and do this. And group energy will work like that in the negative. It'll work. And I shouldn't say that because somebody might be listening. But nonetheless, group energy is what arranges the universe. And the thing about group souls, and this is what was in Colorado, as you go up the ladder of evolution, and your service to self or service to others, you can go very high as service to self. And what does service to self mean? You know, some of us think when we say service to self, it has to be somebody wearing horns and guns and evil, and it can be. But in general, service to self means you are stuck in the matrix somewhere, either lower or higher, and you need energy. And we all need energy. It's okay to need energy. When you're service to self, you try to arrange everything underneath you to bring energy back pointed towards you. And you have lost or refused to go into the resources of energy that you can get from above you. So you have to go below you. And it becomes insatiable because you can only get energy from something below you for so long until it's empty. And then you have to go to something else, and something else. You're not tapping into the inexhaustible source of the universe behind you. You're trying to fulfill yourself constantly something below you. So it might, you might relate this to a guy who needs energy in a intimate sense, who has to have go from one person to another, because he moves into a relationship, and at the beginning he gets energy, and after a while there's no energy, and he has to go to someone else, there's no energy, and he can't sustain a relationship. And that's one example, okay, to get the idea, because you can only get energy from someone for so long, and then it's dead, and until you're relating to someone in their spirit. If you see somebody in their spirit, there's an inexhaustible resource in that. And you can constantly share energy and renew. But so you can evolve very high in the dimensions. And the higher you get, the more you have to draw on underneath you to tap into energy. And the thing about group souls, like the Ra group and the Elohim group, and this was a very interesting thing to contemplate, is that service to self cannot stay together in a group energy for millions of years, because they compete with each other. And there has to be a tremendous sense of service to others, because there's a sacrifice of your own individuality, or there's the perceived sacrifice. There really isn't. But there's the sacrifice of having to be on top, would be a better way of doing it, or having everyone applaud you, being on top, to be in a group energy like the Ra group and the Elohim. And the negative can't do that. They can make group energies of a shorter duration, but not for millions of years. So in these calls, we are tapping into that group energy of those groups. And we're tapping into the group energy of each other. And we're experiencing the power of it. And each of you is, in a certain sense, modeling the energy of the higher dimensions, because most of you are not getting recognition on this call. You feel anonymous. And yet, the energy is always there. You start to learn to feel it. And in the anonymity, you're participating in giving for the highest good of the group. You're not demanding any personal recognition. And we're creating, excuse me, I am muting my phone when I cough, but Terry is next to me, so her phone is picking it up. So those of you that are thinking about wind slurping and coughing, excuse me. We're still a low-budget operation, and we do our best. One guy came by yesterday and said, God, you must be rich. How do you do all those calls all the time? And he's right. How do we do them? We certainly are not rich. In fact, you know, when this all started, I was living in my RV on the street and going to Starbucks and Denny's writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And so this has developed the way it has. I mean, Terry was working and she was supporting it and she had a good job. And then, of course, we're barely supporting it now. We're selling pendants, and some of you have been so gracious and sent donations, and it all helps. But everything everyone does right now is part of the group energy. You know, we are you. You are us. So when you support us back, you're supporting yourself back, if you can tune into that perception, because that's probably the highest proof that in the group energy, we're you. You're us. We just happen to be the guys that are taking some role of leadership, and some of you, I am sure, are going to take on huge roles of leadership in the future. And because you're a leader doesn't mean you're elite or better than. It just means you have the ability to do it. And I think talking and sharing with you my early life experience as a singer-songwriter is cluing you in on some of the ways that I learned, which I don't think if I had that experience, I could begin to do what we're doing today. Couldn't begin to. And I think that's probably why, one of the reasons they chose me. And when this happened, I wondered why they chose me, because I was still living in my RV, and I said, why don't they get some kind of rich guy that has some kind of resources? And but they were very adamant that I was the right person to do this, and I can see why now, because I can get up and talk to you, and I don't feel self-conscious, and I can be authentic, and I can be transparent, and all those things set the stage for them to come in, and with no pretense. And all of you are helping to do that, helping just by being here. You're starting to understand. This is a great subtlety. You're trying to understand, as I say, just showing up. Just showing up and holding the space, your energy becomes part of the transmutation of our planet. And where are we getting these noises from? Okay. And to provide great service doesn't mean you need great recognition. Many of you are on this line right now, and you have been here enough that you really know what you're doing, that you are holding a space in your geographical location right now. And you are being a portal for this energy to come in from the higher realms through your body and ground it in your physical location. And you can feel it. And you can have experienced things changing around you and people changing around you with no effort, just by being there. You've had some experience where a synchronicity would come in and something occurred totally effortlessly because you have learned how to hold this space. And if you're coming in on this call and you haven't learned that yet, please keep coming, because this call helps generate that experience, that learning in people. And when you first come in, unless you've managed to learn this in other ways, which most people have not, but you may have, if you've learned to learn it, you'll relate immediately to what we're doing. But initially, there's a period of assimilation and learning to feel the energies learning to get your old habits and patterns or templates out of the way. You know what a template is? Let's see, what's a good example of a template? It's a good word to understand this stuff. Template. Template is a repeating form that you fill things in. Like, for example, let's suppose you had something, a form to fill out, okay? And it said name, address, city, state, et cetera, et cetera. The form could be considered a template. And everyone that fills it out fills it in with their unique information. Well, template is not just a form. It means anything where you can fill in stuff. When you talk about a template in your consciousness, it means that there's a place where there's a form up there of sorts, a certain rigidity, and everything that comes to you has to fill in that rigidity. Fill in the space. And no matter what comes in, it has to fit into that template, or you won't get it. It'll just pass through you. And this is what holds your reality system together, your template. And what we're talking about here is changing your template, lifting your template. We're setting up a new template.
Can hear you, Wynn.
Okay, thank you. I don't think setting up is the best word, because it's more like we're holding the space of a new and a higher template. And that as you come into these calls, you start to retrain your template. You start to move into that higher template, which allows all kinds of new possibilities, rather than trying to fit everything in to the old template. And as you actually anchor this new template, your life changes. Things happen differently. You attract different things to you. You have different conversations with people, because now everything is coming in to the new template. And the old template is fading away. You know, it's another way of looking at the idea of dimensions or densities. But this is how it's experienced on the human level, the template. And templates change gradually. You could use the word reality system instead of template, if template isn't clear. That you have a whole system about the way you think reality works. And you have to fit everything into your system. And if it doesn't fit, you don't get it. But as you expand your sense of reality, you then can let more things penetrate. You can operate from a higher vantage point. And many of you have done that. You understand that experience. And it's just another way of looking at this idea of templates. And another way of looking at what evolution means as a human. Because as I see it, evolution means pushing the limits of your template higher, pushing the limits of your reality system higher, and that, if you actually accomplish that, is not only going to change your life, it's going to change your future lifetimes. It's going to change your potentials. It's going to change whether you graduate this realm or not. And so that is my personal goal, in doing these calls, as I see it, is creating a new template of reality that's higher than the one we normally participate in, so that you can lift yourself into that and hold that space. And of course, in that space that we're creating, there is the idea of group energy. And group energy has the idea that just through intention, we can come together at a high level and flow our energies together as a team and feel it and feel the power of putting intentions into that, so that things can shift and that we become part of all that is, doing spirit's work in our physical body, and that we have the power to do that. And however stuck you think you are, and however contracted you think you are, and however oppressive your life feels, it's only temporary. It's part of your creation. And as you learn to expand into group energy, into the power of group energy, and then finally you learn how to be the focal point for group energy, for creating it in your space, and keeping this highest good of all concerned aspect, then you are pioneering this new earth. You are changing the planet. It doesn't happen outside of yourself. It doesn't happen because the government passes a law. It happens because there are enough people holding the energy, and we are creating our own evolutionary path. And you are the one infinite creator in this small body, and you are learning how to use the power of creation to recreate your life and recreate our planet and recreate even part of the universe. Who knows? But it's enough if we can recreate our space so we can make those people in our space feeling the group energy, whether it's our children, our husband, our parents, our friends, our neighbors. It's all about group energy. And remember, you can't do it through willpower. It happens by looking and observing and finding opportunities. I can't even tell you how it happens. You know what? I started out this call and I said, where the heck am I going to go here? And here we are in a group energy. So it's not linear. It's not like you can follow a rule. But every time you participate in this, and every time you feel the energy, you were part of the creation of it. So you are learning how to do it. And then we can take this group energy and focus it on something or another, and we focus it on personal healing, we focus it on planetary healing, self-healing, transformation, and we have a bunch of people that have sent things in, and I read some of them on this call, and this is not... You can use the word prayer, and some people do, and it's okay. I don't like to use the word prayer personally, because prayer makes it sound like a religion. And this is not a religion, and the Elohim is not God. They said they're not God, but they're at a higher level than us, far higher, and they can participate with us in our requests And their criteria is we have to ask them so they don't violate free will. So asking them to participate, you can see how that sounds like prayer. But I don't believe they mean it to be that way. In fact, they said it. They said, there are friends. There are interdimensional higher friends. And we are the descended part of them. And many of us came from very high realms and came into this realm to hold this space. And in doing so, we knew we would forget where we came from. And I know this call and the work we're doing is waking so many of you up that fit that criteria. And that even though you're contracted in this realm, in a certain way of looking at it, you're heroic because you sacrificed the freedom of the higher realms to come into this realm and do this kind of work and hold this kind of space. But you got lost, and you know, the Ra group says 90% of the people that come in from higher realms to be of service here get lost. So it was a great sacrifice. And if you're finding yourself and learning about this, then don't think, don't not tap yourself on the back. Don't miss giving yourself credit for the heroic action of coming here. Because anyone that comes here gets stuck and lost. And I certainly can attest to that for myself. I've been stuck and lost a good portion of this lifetime. So don't, we're going to go through this list. As you know, we have a healing list, and people send in things they'd like shifted in their life on the planet. I'm going to go through it. We have Rick in Iowa City looking for a new source of income that he'll be happy doing and feel purpose and get along with everybody. Whether it's a career choice, please help me find that. And, of course, remember, they are you helping you finding yourself. And as you open up, you get synchronicities. You get just thoughts pop into your head. And that's what happens as you move your matrix. You move your template to a higher level. Your thoughts open up to new things. And Rick, same Rick in Iowa City, sending the light to his wife for her heart. Shirley in Laverne. Wasn't there a TV show about that? Shirley in Laverne? Shirley in Laverne, California. Putting a family in the light, and they had some tragic deaths, and she puts her brother in the light, who's depressed. Get your brother one of our pendants. That's helped people with that. And thank you, Shirley. Thank you all for being there and all the work you do. I just got a big shiver down my back. That's Shirley saying she got a big shiver. This is from Anonymous at Piedmont, California, who would like their better relationships with their neighbors. Mary in Lincoln, healing for her dog. Nancy in Westminster, personal issues. C in Pennsylvania puts their nephew Yak in the love light to lift his sadness and remove darkness that is around him, help him feel more positive. He needs help finding a job so he can take care of himself and his children. Carol, healing for my husband. Gail, requests a healing for her cat. Christopher in United Kingdom sends a light to his wife, who was diagnosed with stage 3 inoperable cervical cancer. Victor put the sale of two of his properties in the light. Victor, if they sell this week, send us money. Sherry, in Kansas City, help with dissolving calcification energy blockages from her car and cancer-related injuries. Peter, in Woodland Hills, puts into the light his mom's eyes suffering from macular degeneration. Medjina, put in the love light the healing of her body and spirit and her relationship with her friends Krasimir and Yaroslav. And Miglina is in Stanfield, Canada. Lori in Santa Fe. Restoration of eyesight for Ron Young. Healing for Cheryl. Looking for people to come into power and in the U.S. Congress who have high purposes, high intentions.
Vin, are you still with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
No, I can, yes.
We were just putting things silently into the light hive.
Sorry.
Thank you. And, you know, one of the more popular things we do every Sunday from the emails I get is this little guided visualization. And let's do it quickly. We brought in a lot of energy just in that talking. Let's bring it in quickly, and then we'll get a word from our sources, and then we'll do our planetary intention, and we'll all go off and have a great Sunday. So we start out, there's this idea that the universe is all one being, and we are part of that being. Everything is part of that being. And we have an illusion of feeling separated. Of course, the illusion has been perpetuated over millions of years. But the oneness is always there, always waiting for us to have that experience. So this is a guided visualization to move us into the experience of oneness. And we start out with the Earth, sometimes called Mother Earth. And everyone has something in common on this line. That is that we're all sitting on the Earth or standing on the Earth. And the Earth is an energy, a consciousness, an awareness. And we usually lose touch with the fact that the Earth is alive. But she is. And we're going to ask the Earth to send her energy up through the floor where you are, and that look at your feet where this energy is coming in, and see if you can feel a tingling. And imagine that you've actually made connection with the earth, and tell the earth that you love her. The earth does not get enough acknowledgement from humans. In fact, we have created a huge amount of hurt and pain for earth by the way we've abused her and abused each other. So right at this moment, feel the love of the earth coming up through your legs, through your body, through your solar plexus, through your chest, through your neck, through your head. And it's like having a love affair with the earth. Earth surrounds every person on this planet with energy. That's why she's called Mother Earth. And without that energy, we wouldn't exist. Many of you heard us talk about how there's going to be a separation of souls, and that the earth is moving to a new energy level, and that if you don't have your heart chakra open slightly more than half, you can't continue your evolution on earth anymore, and you get moved somewhere else to start over. Right now you're feeling Mother Earth, and you're feeling your heart being open. That's a good thing. You're bonding with this higher level Earth right now. So we'll take our energy and move it through the tops of our heads, 1 foot above our head, and up to the ceiling, and in the room you're in. Remember, we're not abandoning Earth. We're not abandoning our body. We're moving all this through and up and over and through the roof and through the sky and through the clouds. And we are expanding ourselves from our little body. We're expanding ourselves down into the earth, up into the sky, up through time, outside of time, and we find this place where we all meet and we all connect above our heads. And we all become one. Temporarily one. We're not glommed together as free will. It's a temporary association, and we invite our group souls to join with our association. So we have now a conglomerate. And we bring that energy down back through the clouds, through the sky, through the clouds, through the top of our roof, through our ceiling. And take this one slow into the top of your head, into your crown chakra. Some of you can feel it. Your body is just filled with energy coming in from the celestial realms. some of you can see the light inside the top of your head or perceive it. We move the energy down into our chest. Into our heart area. And oftentimes, and we'll do it right now, let's release anything we're holding in our heart. Let it go into the higher realms to be dispersed. What do we want to release? Resentment. Hostility. Judgment. And be specific here as you're releasing this. Think of those people who are your nightmares. Think of the people that have hurt you. Think of the people that have betrayed you. Think of the people that have abandoned you. And they're all stuck in your heart, and you hate them. And you've been hurt so deeply. And let it go right now. Forgive them. Doesn't mean you like them. You're doing this not for them, but for you. Because, you know, we talked about having your heart open slightly more than half in order to graduate this realm. That's what they say, our sources. Well, all of these people that you have negative feelings for in your heart are percentage points in keeping your heart closed. And if you want to graduate this realm, you have to open the space up there. And you're not hurting them by feeling these things. You're hurting you. And yes, they're not great people. And their karma will take care of them. You're not hurting them by holding these feelings inside you. You're hurting yourself. Then we go from our heart to our solar plexus, to our genitals, to our legs, to our feet, and back into the earth. And shut your eyes for a moment and feel the space that your little body is now connected to the universe. And again, take a moment and ask for any personal healings you need for the highest good of all concerned. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each one of us, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us when we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. We don't hear you. Just a moment.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are with you this day, planet Earth. And we are not only with you, but we are also at the same time in the higher realm. And we are non-linear, so we are able to be at more than one place at one time, more than one density at one time, for all is one. We are in the heavenly realm. We are higher than the heavenly realm. And we are able to focus on more than one thing at one time. Therefore, we are available to each and every one of you. We do not come over the telephone line. We do not come through the radio. We come directly. We see your soul signatures. We see the soul signatures of the individuals who have put things in the light. And your wishes, your intentions, your true heartfelt intentions for healing for you and for your friends and for your family. And we lend our intention to add to your intention towards healing. We ask you to check your belief systems, because your belief systems act is an intention, and perhaps your belief systems come from the consensus reality, from the medical establishment, from your government, from your community, from your family, from your genetics, from the history of your family, from your where you have been raised, from your beliefs that you have gotten from your parents, from your grandparents, from their grandparents. And your beliefs have ended up to bring you to be mixed in with your intentions for your healing. And some of these may be in conflict, wherein you have been given perhaps a medical diagnosis, and this is in conflict with what you truly in your heart desire. So when you become your own person, your own centered self, and then you take a look at all of these other influences and set your own flame, your own intention, which then your body hears. Your body is alive. All of the tissues in your body are listening. They're all responding, so that when you get mad at your body because it is not responding in the way that you wish, your body hears that, and your body has a consciousness, and the area that is bothering you has a consciousness. And when you get mad at your body, then it makes it harder for that body part to wish to heal because it does not feel understood. If you can be like we are, with sharing your intention and all of these belief systems, and then dissolving the belief systems that you do not wish to respond to, that your body will do better if those belief systems weren't influencing it, and become a strong support system for your body. How much birth quotient does your body have? How much does your body feel loved? How much does that body part that is bothering you feel that it is loved? If it could feel loved and supported, then it could do better towards healing. Love is a healing factor. So when you make your body feel loved and cared for and nurtured, do something nice for your body. Get a massage. Let your body know that your body is loved. Then it will do more to support you back. All is consciousness, and all responds. So the connection is magnified through love. The support is magnified through love. Through the sharing of love and the desire, as you love your body or love your surroundings, then it gets it. It has consciousness and it wishes to support you back. We hope that this has made sense to you. We are doing and sending out transcripts, and so you may wish to read a transcript at some time. We love you. We support you non-linearly in your space where you are. We are of a very high frequency, and we carry the signature of the color pink. And you may experience this light pink color when you tune into our frequency. We are there supporting you. You do not have to sense us for us to be there supporting you. However, we are there supporting you. We hear your intentions. We hear what you wish. This is a sacred moment in time when we have an opportunity to connect with each and every one of you who wishes to be connected with. We love you more than you can imagine. Thank you for this opportunity to connect. For those that wish to be connected with, we leave, but we do not leave.
Thank you. We're going to take our group energy that we have created. We have done this. You have done this. You take responsibility for being part of it. And we're going to use the power of that energy in recreating, redirecting energies on this planet for the highest good of all concerned. And what we do is, this moment, shut your eyes and connect with the energy. Feel the connection. And we see this energy move from its non-manifest point to where it actually is a field moving through space. And that field of energy is surrounding our planet. And of course, there's already loads of different fields all over our planet. There's lots of spiritual groups here that are creating group energies, even if they don't call it that, and are impacting things. There's a lot of negative energies being created all over our planet from those beings that would try to control our planet and make us subservient or slaves. And we're not going to confront those energies. We're going to flow around them. Sometimes I describe the Grand Canyon and say how the water beat the rock. It, you know, it made the canyon. It wore it down. And it did it by flowing around things. It didn't let anything become an obstacle. And that's how non-duality works. If you make something an obstacle, you confront it, and you have to work with power. And it's usually more powerful than you. But if you flow around something, you get to where you want to go without confronting anything. It is energy moving through all the energy fields of our planet. Moving through them, moving around anything that's negative, and anchoring into the planet. And what we're doing is we're creating a new template, a higher template. And one that can potentially pervade our entire planet. And change the template, change the reality system. We see all those people that are lifting for higher energy, that are praying, that are working in spiritual groups. We join with them. We come right down with our energy into the top of their heads, not violating their free will if their high selves allow it. We become one with our energies. And if they would have their high self allow it, they become one with ours, and they work with us on this task at hand. We send this light, this energy, this moving energy, down upon Washington, D.C., and all those people there that are in decision-making powers, and ask that they make compassionate decisions, caring decisions. And we do the same thing in London. We ask for the same. We send the energy down around the Middle East. And anchor with all those people there that would wish peace. and harmony. Send the light to all those people that have been hurt or killed, whose souls are still fragmented or stuck. We address earthquakes and the Ring of Fire, and we go, the Ring of Fire is the landmass surrounding the Pacific Ocean, which is the most volatile earthquake zone on our planet, and as you may have noted, we've had many earthquakes in the past years in that zone. And if we imagine how this works, it's like earthquakes are caused by tectonic plates that are ruptured and rub against each other. And we're going to send light to all those tectonic plates like WD-40, however, just visualize that they're not going to create abrasive rubs. And we're going to start at the tip of South America and going from the west coast of South America, up South America, up to Central America, up through Central America, up through Mexico, up to Baja California, which is part of Mexico, into San Diego, Chula Vista, up through the western coast of the United States, Carlsbad, Oceanside, up through Oceanside to Orange County, Los Angeles, all the environs of Los Angeles, and we see ourselves being under the ground, sending our energy under the ground and around those tectonic plates. We just ask that any earthquakes be either minimized or away from population centers. In other words, we do know the Earth has to release tension, and that it could happen in little minimized bursts of energy, or it could happen in huge devastations. There's a certain amount of choice involved. You know, earlier in this call, if you recall, we became friends with the Earth, and we send the Earth love. You know, aside from feeling good, you know, if the Earth loves you, and that she has any kind of decision-making ability to say, we're going to keep this away from Joan. I remember that she loves me. It's like that could cause an earthquake to not happen under your feet. That's just a speculation. I can't prove that, but it makes sense. So we go up to Los Angeles, north of Los Angeles, into Ventura, Santa Barbara, up north of Santa Barbara to San Francisco, up the coast, Marin County, Oregon, Washington, Portland, Seattle, Mount Hood, Mount Rainier, coast of Canada, Vancouver, the coast of Vancouver, and Washington, and Canada, up through southern Alaska, Sitka, and down the eastern coast of the Soviet, or Russia, no longer the Soviet Union, down the coast to China, Hong Kong, Indonesia, Philippines, Japan. We see Fukushima, the radiation being capped and minimized. We go from Japan to Australia, New Zealand, the Hawaiian Islands, and we now blast the whole Ring of Fire with energy, with love light energy from the center of the universe, bringing it into balance. We see it in balance, and we move to the fault, the New Madrid fault, St. Louis area, and Tennessee and Illinois and states around that, and we blast it with this energy. And we move to the Mid-Atlantic Fault, the Canary Islands, and surround the entire planet. Any faults we've missed anywhere, let this cloud of light energy that we are creating come in and balance the fault lines. And while we're surrounding the planet, let's bring in rain where there's drought. And right now, we ask for interventions. We ask that our higher sources act on the highest good of all concerned for those interventions necessary to make the transition for people from to the higher aspects of this paradigm shift. So we ask that the mass of humanity be protected from fear, the collective consensus consciousness, that fear does not get into it. Fear is the greatest tool of the negative to destroy everything. We ask for protection from fear. We ask that no nuclear weapons go off, that they be disabled. We ask the chemtrails be modified so anything that's dangerous in them is shifted on a molecular level. We send the energy of this love light to all the waters on our planet for upliftment of energy and purification. And we bring this energy back to ourselves. It's, it's 12:48. We have about 6 minutes. I might end this about 3 minutes early because we have to go pay for our hotel room here in Los Angeles. We ask for this energy to come back to each of you and experience right now, to have that experience that you are doing the work of the One Infinite Creator. You are grounding this energy. You are the antenna for this energy in your physical location. And it's moving through you. It's moving out from you. It's moving into the earth. You are the center point. You are important. You are actually doing this wherever you are on the planet. Whether you're listening to the replay or listening to us on the internet or whether you're doing this live, and let whatever is wrong in your body go. Let this energy shift it. You are the healer. You are the anchor. You are empowered. You're going to have the synchronicities this week. You're going to pull the things into your life that you need to keep yourself sustained. You're going to do this not only for yourself and your family, but because the universe needs you now more than ever to help hold these energies. And I thank each and every one of you for being here and supporting this work that we're doing on Sundays, supporting your planet, and of course, supporting yourself. And on that note, I'm going to end the call just a few minutes early so we get back to our expo. And I'm going to unmute everybody and we'll see you all tomorrow night.
Oh, thank you, Wynn. Carrie Lynn.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn.
Oh, you know what? I just muted you all. I just wanted to say, while we're in L.A., if we can find a place to do something this week, we'll do it and invite you all. So pay attention to our mailings carefully, and we'll see if we can set something up, okay? All right. And now you're unmuted. We'll see you later, okay?
Thank you, Wynn.
Thanks, Wynn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your conference recording has stopped.